ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
When you focus on the goodness in your life, you create more of it. Rhonda Byrne. Enemies, lovers, everyone in between, I hope you are having a good day and the day you deserve. This is Stuart, and welcome back to the podcast, guys. You know, this podcast is more than just discussions or a series of conversations. Let's make it a journey that we embark on together towards growth and transformation, a pursuit to be your best self. Let it be a safe space for us to explore the depths of what it is to be here, our wellness, our fitness, our mental health, you know, challenge ourselves and courageously take steps into the realm of personal growth. I try to be authentic when I get in front of the mic and I start waffling, but I guess that's the very essence of growing as we go, talking about our own experiences, our struggles, our insights, stuff we've learned that have helped us along the way. If this podcast is for anyone, let it be for someone who tries to seek and delve into the intricacies of human connection and personal connection with your physical, your mental well-being, because we are sculpting the life that we always imagined. I've gone very philosophical in the first minute, so I think that says a lot about the topic we're going to talk about today. But before we begin, I want to thank this community of like-minded individuals for your commitment towards yourself, whilst also supporting each other in becoming the best versions of yourself. Now, in today's episode, I would like to talk about manifestation and intention through the lens of Rhonda Byrne and her transformative work with The Secret and The Greatest Secret. Now, with my next comment, I do not want to dissuade anyone from picking up a copy of either of these books. But in essence, The Secret is something we have talked about, many insightful individuals will talk about, many thought leaders will talk about. Whatever your viewpoints on life, the universe, religion, it's all about the law of attraction. It extends to the differences in our lives between wants and needs, and pursuit versus passion versus purpose in our lives. Essentially, it's knowing yourself enough to ground yourself and discover that who you truly are and everything you want is there inside you. The issue is trying to release it because it's caged from emotional repercussions, trauma, societal expectations, the own pressures put on yourself. But let this be the foundation for the discussion today as we try and take back the layers of consciousness, you know. You'll find who you truly are and everything you need is already within you. So in this episode with Rhonda, I will also be referencing Mo Gawat's insights on happiness as a beacon for understanding. His happiness equation really complements Byrne's teaching, offering this harmonious blend of, let's just say, wisdom that's both enlightening, simple, and very practical. In this episode, if you yearn to break free from, I guess, mental chains that we all have and step into a joy and a peace, we unfold the secrets together. Remember, this is a podcast that is more than just trying to give you information or trying to just talk into my microphone about my life. It's about growing a community of like-minded individuals committed to personal growth and a pursuit of happiness. So, listener, I urge you to engage, like, comment, subscribe, and share this podcast if you resonate with it on whatever streaming platform you're tuning in from. Your support is crucial in spreading this message and expanding this beautiful, beautiful community that we have already cultivated as we are diligently building towards a better future. Every like, every comment, every review, and every share helps us reach souls just like yours. So, let's begin. What is the core philosophy of The Secret and The Grace's Secret? It is about seeking perpetual happiness, and Rhonda Byrne would introduce us to the realization that our true self is beyond our thoughts and beyond our feelings. This understanding is key to unlock a state of eternal bliss. You are not your thoughts is the recurring theme that would echo through this book. And when I say you are not your thoughts, I mean you are above them. The issue is, and I say this constantly, our words hold power. What you say about yourself is how you will then perceive yourself. If you use words of affirmation such as, I am worthy, I am loved, I am lucky, I am prosperous, that is how you will feel about your existence. But if you use words of degradation, I am not worthy, I am ugly, I am unattractive, I am not worthy of love, that is then how you will perceive your existence. Like, this idea is not new. It's the cornerstone of majority of spiritual teachings across the world. And if I can go to Meditations by Marcus Aurelius, I love this book. And what I did actually quite appreciate reading The Greatest Secret was the fact that there was these mental, almost muscle memories of texts, of thought speakers, of Stoics, of people in our past that I have not thought about in years, if not a decade for some of them. And all of a sudden, their teachings and what I remember about them, what I instilled in myself at some point in my life, just came flooding back. It was like, yeah, we already knew this, but we already knew this. Why did we forget this when it was there? But anyway, sorry, Marcus Aurelius would say that, you know, you do have the power over your mind, but not outside events. So you need to realize that the strength that you will find is within you. And similarly, like Byrne would encourage us to find our inner strength, realizing that the power is within us and it's untapped majority of the time, because we identify too closely with transient nature and our thoughts and our emotions. We are led not by our will, but by circumstances that fuel our mindset at the time. Eckhart Tolle, another luminary in the field of spiritual growth, would align with these kind of philosophies and teach us the importance of presence and the illusion of thought-based identity. The primary cause for unhappiness is never the situation that you thought about, but the thoughts you were thinking at the time. Let me get the actual quote, because I definitely said that wrong. Oh, no, I was pretty close. So Tolle would assert that the primary cause of unhappiness is never the situation, but your thoughts. It goes back to the words you use to describe yourself, your environment, the situation you're in. That is how you will perceive it, and that will then have mental repercussions on your mindset and then your willpower. If I can be very flippant and give an example, it is a rainy day, but you need to go outside, even just to get to your car. Now, what you can say is, I am going to get wet, walking from my front door to my car, opening the car, getting in. I will then be wet on my way through my journey to wherever my destination is. Or what you could say Isn't it so amazing? And I am so grateful that I get to live another day and experience the rain another time. Rain that helps flourish in growth, nature that is effervescent. Something so miraculous as a single drop. In a way, how to shift your thoughts and feelings towards an assertive or positive reflection of the situation drastically improves your mindfulness. So, a question I will pass off to you is, have you ever noticed a moment where you know you were not your thoughts or your feelings? Moments when you were simply observing them from a distance? How did that realization affect your sense of peace and happiness when you were able to take a step back away from them? When we are driven solely by our emotions and our thoughts, it is often leading to a form of suffering. And Rhonda Byrne would go into the fact that suffering is an illusion. Like, moving into the illusion of suffering, Rhonda and even Mo would offer perspectives that I want to say are as liberating as they are transformative. I always remember the story of how Mo lost his son in one of the most unpredictable of ways. He had gone in for some basic surgery and unfortunately passed away. Mo was the head of several ventures at the time, Google X being one of them. And this was such a traumatic and painful moment in his life, and yet years, decades onwards, he always says that it is in honor of his son that he does what he does now, flipping any narrative to fuel you in a positive aspect, to capture or to hold us, because as Rhonda would put it, suffering is self-created. It is a byproduct of our attachment to those thoughts and those emotions, because suffering is not holding you. You are holding on to suffering. And speaking from personal experience, I do remember very pivotal points in my adolescence and my, I won't say young adult life, I'm still young at heart. Oh my god, I'm middle-aged, but I do remember points in my life where I championed my victim badge, the suffering I had gone through and the suffering that I held on to, which for me now personally in my life, I find very calloused and self-indulgent that I would do that. I would hold on to my pain and blame the world for it, but never try to let it go. I was severely bullied as a child. As a teenager, I developed mental disorders, eating disorders from it. I was mentally, verbally, emotionally abused growing up. And I held on to all that suffering as though it was a badge of honor. People often say now, why are you so distant and quiet all the time? And majority of it, I guess, in certain social circumstances or even personal intimate circumstances, I could be. It's because I purposely tried to take myself out of a situation before I give a response. Now, this doesn't always happen. I am definitely fueled by my emotions, quite a lot of the time, as of recently, I will say that. It's been a turbulent couple of months, I will say that. Many, many moments of growth. But we need to let go of this mental construct that we want to hold on to or that causes us pain. What Mo would say to find happiness, you know, it's the simple equation. Happiness is greater than or equal to the difference between the way we see the events of our lives and the expectations of how life should behave. In essence, you know, when you let go of expectations and accept life as it unfolds, you step into serenity. The story of the Buddha, well, the Buddha's teaching, you know, resonates with this understanding, where he would state the root of suffering is an attachment. This story of the prince who knew no pain, no suffering. Going off again on a tangent, but if no one knows the story of the Buddha, so he was a prince, and his father did not want him to know any form of pain or strife in the world, so he was hid away in a palace that knew nothing but beauty and splendor. But the prince thought that there must be more to life than this, so he stole away from the palace one day out into the outside world, where he did see pain and he did see suffering. and he realized who was contained, him or them. And this was a form of enlightenment for him, where he went on a journey to become the essence that we now know today as the Buddha.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I believe I just gave the Sparks Notes version of one of the most affluential spiritual leaders of existence, but okay. I would invite you to look deeply into the nature of suffering and to recognize or understand the attachment to impermanent aspects, I guess, of life that would make us want to keep pain. So if I could ask you a question, what would holding on to this pain be like if you realized it was holding you back? If you were holding on to a concrete block as you were sinking to the bottom of a lake, could you identify a belief, a thought, or an emotion that if you released it, it would alleviate your suffering? You would be able to let go of that concrete block and rise up to the surface. Share that reflection with yourself. But do understand that towards this journey, liberating oneself is difficult because they are self-imposed chains of suffering and torment. I'm always brought back to A Christmas Carol, where Jacob Marley is dragged down by his own chains, his own suffering, his own greed, his own anger and strife and jealousy. And I know myself that I still carry many of my chains. I try to leave them go sometimes, and then they somehow slip themselves back around my wrists, my ankles. It could be a painful form of self-growth, I will say that. I'm not even going to say it can be, it is. What is it like to be fully present, though? Shedding light on how our past and future are mere constructs of the mind that distract us from the present. This isn't a new concept we've talked about many times before, but this is something that is backed by psychological research emphasizing the benefits of mindfulness and present moment awareness. A foundational reference in this domain would be John Kabat-Zinn's work, who founded the mindfulness-based stress reduction, the MBSR program. And what Kabat-Zinn's research in his paper, Mindfulness-Based Intervention in Context, is about is that the past, the present, the future, in those three, only one of them is a fixed reality. And to fix yourself in the present, not be worrying about something that happened in the past, not being worried about something that you can't predict for the future, it reduces the symptoms of anxiety and depression. It gives you an improved attention span and enhanced overall well-being. You are not focused on something you can never change, and you are not focused on something that might not come to pass. If we were to talk from like neuroscientific studies about the importance of presence, I only have one thing to say on this because I am not a professional in this field at all, but mindfulness practice leads to increased regional brain gray matter density. I had to look up what this actually meant, but it changes the regions of the brain associated with memory, self-awareness, and empathy. These changes not only underline the power of awareness and presence, but also their tangible effects in the brain's structure and function. So how often, consider yourself, are you truly present in the moment? Are you able to witness life as it unfolds, or are you caught up in the narratives of yesterday and the anxiety of tomorrow? I've talked about this before, cognitive behavioral therapy, and how it's widely recognized and effective for psychological treatment and operates in the principle understanding that change in our thoughts will have a profound impact on our emotions and behaviors. So furthermore, what are the power of thoughts and emotions, and how do these thoughts and emotions influence us? What Rhonda would say in The Greatest Secret, you know, is that if we can observe our thoughts and our feelings without attachment, an approach that can lead to a more peaceful and joyful existence. This detachment from thoughts and emotions is not just a philosophical idea, but also supported by psychological research, cognitive behavioral therapy, as we've just mentioned, the mindfulness-based stress reduction. Furthermore, the role of emotions in our well-being has been the subject of extensive research. When doing research for this, I found a very interesting psychologist called Barbara Fredrickson and her theory called Broaden and Build Positive Emotions, and how it underscores this transformative power of positive emotions of our thoughts and behaviors. And in her paper, she would say she invites us to basically question the dominance of our thoughts and emotions over our lives. How much control do we give them? Things like, don't be blinded by anger. Don't drown in your sadness. Don't be fueled by resentment. How might your life change if you viewed your thoughts and emotions as transient, not defining the elements of who you are? I pass that question off to you. I mean, there was a time in my life when fear and doubt were, I want to say, my roommates, I guess, companions. I was going to say lovers, but no, that might be taking it a bit too far. But the skit series I used to do called My Roommates, where I basically take all of these emotions and have discussions with them, it came from this kind of scenario of trying to let go of fear. There was a time where, you know, I was afraid to take risks and to step out of my own comfort zone and truly chase my dreams for, I guess, the degradation of other people's opinions and those that I would assume they would make, those that I know they made in the past. There were so many limiting beliefs that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't have what it takes. And I started challenging those beliefs bit by bit, and it was excruciating to question their validity over me and the hold that they had on me. And slowly but surely, everything did change. It was as if I had been viewing the world, I guess, through not rose-tinted glasses, but just fog. And it's slowly getting clearer, but this journey, you know, it's long. It requires facing your fears every day and stepping into the unknown, embracing that vulnerability. But I implore you, on the other side of fear was so much like self-worth and happiness and need and want for life, something that I stopped dreaming about, I guess, for quite a while. A life filled with purpose and joy and potential, I guess. I love the idea of failing now. I love the idea of constantly learning, transforming from being rooted in the realization that our limiting beliefs are not reflections of our true capabilities, just illusions that we cast on ourselves. But honestly, what is a journey of self-discovery? Like, The Greatest Secret is essentially one book of a question asking you to embark on this. This path of understanding and embracing your true self is not merely philosophical for the endeavor, but a deeply personal quest to uncover an essence of sorts of who we are beyond the roles that we play and the masks that we wear in our everyday life. My own journey of self-discovery is filled with moments, excruciating moments of doubt, and then excruciating moments of exhilaration and profound insights into my existence, followed usually by bouts of sadness and depression for my mortality. It is a process of, I guess, peeling back the layers of confronting the narratives that I had put as walls in front of myself. Half the time I thought I tore down these walls, and then I realized, yes, I probably did, but I was still hiding under the rubble. And ultimately, I was still having to come face to face with my true essence. The experience is transformative, but you should know, because it revealed something that I was not aware of. But because it allowed me to accept the, embrace my true nature, I guess, myself. This path is illuminated by practice that you will do for self-inquiry. It is a powerful tool for self-discovery. It would involve asking yourself, you know, often challenging questions in a quest to reveal deeper truths. Who am I? What truly matters to me? What am I holding on to that no longer serves me? These questions, simple yet difficult to answer authentically and truthfully to yourself. And when you do, it sometimes leaves a pit in your stomach of, why don't you follow it then? But it can lead to a transformative insight and a deeper connection with yourself. Like the underpinnings, I guess, of self-discovery, coming from a little bit of a psychological perspective, might often involve introspection and a lot of mindfulness practice, supported by, you know, the numerous studies that I've mentioned, but also, like, well more out there. There are benefits in enhancing self-awareness and emotional regulation. If I could give you one, the effects of mindfulness meditation training on multitasking in high-stress information environments. And currently, that's the world we live in. But remember, the journey towards, like, letting go of fear, challenging your limiting beliefs, and discovering a truer self and essence is very, very, it's deeply personal and infinitely rewarding. It's a path not just for external success, but more so for internal peace and happiness and fulfillment. So I would invite you, reflect on your journey. Share your stories of overcoming fear, what you are going to do yourself to actually go into the fire to come out the other side, breaking free of limiting beliefs, embarking on this quest. As we wrap up today's episode, I hope I didn't undermine the wisdom of Rhonda or Mo too much, but I would like to remind you that change is the constant rhythm of life, where we evolve, we grow, we embrace, we don't stay stagnant. It whispers to us in moments of stillness, and it roars in times of turmoil. I would like to ask you two small questions. What is the smallest thing you could do now to enact a positive change in your life? And what is the best thing you can do right now to enact a change in your life? We encourage you not only to reflect on these questions, but share your thoughts and your actions with us, your journey, your steps towards change. It can inspire and motivate others in this community and beyond. Together, we're not just listeners or followers. We are a collective group of souls. We are this brilliant, brilliant conglomerate, this community of people striving just to find happiness in ourselves, supporting each other, even if we're not on the same path. Remember, what we do in the present moment will shape our future. Embrace the change. Let's take those small steps together. Let's shape the future brimming with positive aspects, joy, and fulfillment. If you could, like, comment, subscribe, share this podcast on whatever platform you are currently listening to. Your engagement helps it grow, helps this community become a sanctuary for those committed for personal development and transformation. Now, I'm going to let you go. So, to my friends, enemies, lovers, everyone in between, I hope you have a good day and the day you deserve. So, this is Stuart. Let's chat soon, okay?
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.